You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey.
To hometown Chicago fans, winning the big one is starting to feel almost like a constitutional right as the Bulls took their fifth NBA title on Friday night.
Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 NBA championship trophies.
That is where the new documentary miniseries The Last Dance begins. It's 1997, and after 5 championships and 7 seasons, the future of the Chicago Bulls organization is in doubt. Aside from star Michael Jordan, other players are aging, the coach and management are at odds, and the word rebuilding is on everyone's lips. So the stage is set for a tumultuous and historic Last Dance. The new 10-part ESPN miniseries follows Jordan's last season with the Bulls. You can watch the last 2 episodes of the series on Sunday, but in the meantime, we're going to be talking about it today with Rich McBride. Fans of Illini basketball will remember Rich as part of the 2005 Final Four team. Today, he's an assistant men's basketball coach at Moberly Community College in Missouri. Rich, welcome to the 21st.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And if you want to share your memories of the Bulls, give us a call, 800-222-9455. Rich, you grew up in Springfield in the 1990s, and I'm guessing you would have been, what, 10, 11 years old in 1997?
Yeah, I was 12.
12, okay. So can you talk about what it was like to watch Jordan play as yourself, a young basketball player? Did watching him and the success of the Bulls play a role in your desire to play and to be good?
You know, it definitely did. Just growing up in a family that, you know, I had a lot of good basketball players in my family, my cousins, my uncles, to play college ball. And, you know, so they kind of got me started. But for sure, you know, coming up as a young teenager, going to the parks, watching the Bulls and Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen on TV, WGN to be exact, you know, definitely played a part in, you know, me and trying to, you know, be as successful as possible in basketball.
You know, and I want to talk a little bit more about Jordan in a moment, but I also want to touch on another major character in the miniseries, who is Coach Phil Jackson. So after, Rich, after your playing career, you became a coach yourself. I wonder, in your view, how important was Phil Jackson to the Bulls' success in the 1990s?
You know, he's very, very important. He's not, you know, considered the greatest of all time for no reason. I think being able to manage those personalities that he had and, you know, being able to adapt to different situations. You saw the situation he had with Rodman when Pippen went out and Pippen came back and he needed that vacation. You know, just being able to adapt into little situations like that. I mean, you know, everybody knows X's and O's is a big part, but I think off the court, getting everybody to gel and being able to, you know, control those personalities is just as important, and I think he was one of the best at that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess people could say, like, oh, he only won because he had Michael and Scotty and Rodman, but, I mean, there's more to the story, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think being able to get those guys to jail, being able to get those guys to play for each other, I think is just as important as having a Michael and Scotty. You know, you can always have the talent. You look at the NBA now, I mean, it's full of talent up and down every roster. I mean, you don't make it to that level without being really good. But, you know, if you ain't gelling off the court and you ain't got a good staff that supports the guys, I mean, it's going to be tough to be as successful as the Bulls were.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Jordan was the star of the team in the series, obviously, but I wonder, do you think The Last Dance does a good job of highlighting the part that the other players played in the team's success, people like Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman?
I mean, it definitely does. I think, you know, when you look at this Last Dance docu-series that they put together, and, you know, a lot of people thought it was going to be mostly about Michael, but I think, you know, they've done a good job with Pippen and Rodman and talked about Kukoc and Kerr, and they've gave some backstory, you know, to some of the stuff that we might not have seen, you know, with Mike in the locker room and his emotional side. So, you know, I definitely think they've done a great job, and, you know, I've enjoyed watching it. I went back and watched the last 2 episodes a second and third time because it was so good. It's been awesome for me.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So if you're just joining us, this is the 21st. We're talking with Rich McBride, the former Illinois basketball player, Springfieldian, and now the assistant men's basketball coach at Moberly Community College in Missouri. If you have memories of the Bulls watching the run in the 90s, particularly that last season, give us a call, 800-222-9455. That number again is 800-222-9455. You can also always tweet us at 21st Show. Once again, that is 21ST Show on Twitter. Rich, I think the bigger human stories are one of the reasons that we love sports, right? You have the emotion on the court, obviously, but also off the court. And I wonder if there are any stories in the series that stick with you about what was going on behind the scenes. I mean, there's so many great characters. It's almost like watching a play, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, the thing that stuck with me and, you know, being a young kid, I heard about Mike's dad, but I didn't know what really happened and nobody really explained it to me. So seeing that part of it, you know, and seeing him bounce back, you know, after going from baseball to back to basketball and just getting back to that level he was at when he left and then winning that championship on Father's Day, I mean, that was just remarkable. And, you know, seeing that emotion come out of him in that locker room, man, just being able to, you know, put everything to the side, put all that emotion to the side, get the job done for you, your teammates and your coaches, and then just to let it all out at the end, you know, on top. That was just remarkable for me.
All right, I want to play a clip from episode 7 of the series. Rich, I know you've now heard this several times since you said you went back and rewatched them, but I want to get your reaction to it. This is Michael Jordan speaking in the ESPN miniseries, The Last Dance.
Winning has a price. And leadership has a price. So I pulled people along when they didn't want to be pulled. I challenge people when they don't want to be challenged. And I earned that right because my teammates came after me. They didn't endure all the things that I endured.
Michael Jordan is down in pain. Detroit came down hard and is injured. Well, the Pistons have moved on, but you really got a feel for this man right here. I mean, playing his heart out.
Once you join the team, you live at a certain standard that I played the game, and I wasn't going to take any less. Now, that means I had to go in there and get in your ass a little bit, and I did that.
All right, so this is at the end of the episode where he's talking about his desire to win and what he did. You know, I wonder, Rich, you have been on the court, obviously. Do you think the Bulls won so much because of Jordan's kind of domineering style or in spite of it?
I definitely think that played a part in their success. I truly believe that you need that type of personality in a winning culture. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Sometimes, you know, it comes from your best player. Sometimes it comes from the head coach. Sometimes it comes from an assistant coach. But I think you definitely need that personality somewhere, you know, in that locker room to have a winning culture and to sustain it. You definitely need that.
All right. I understand we've got a caller on the line, Alita from Springfield. You have a comment. Well, good morning and welcome to the 21st.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to mention I grew up in Springfield, went to Lamphere. My sisters went to school with Richard. I remember watching him play basketball with Andre and Quinn, and they had just like what he's talking about, where everybody's personalities were different, but they gelled really well. And I was fine when the Bulls won the fifth championship, and that really inspired me to have a love for basketball. And watching Rich and all the guys that he played high school ball with was really amazing.
All right. So inspiring a lot of kids, I wonder, I guess that, and that's sort of a theme here, I think, for those of us who were younger, and I was in college for the second run of the Bulls, but Alita, thank you for sharing your comments with us. And Rich, as we mentioned, you were also just a kid at the time this was happening. I wonder if seeing the series as an adult changes your perception of Jordan at all, or if it adds to your understanding of him as a player or even as a person.
I definitely, you know, as an adult, you definitely understand it a little bit more. I mean, you know, people could tell you the stories and, you know, they can give you insight, you know, from what they thought or what they believed from when you were a teenager. But definitely seeing it now going through, you know, high school and college and now being on the other side as a coach. Like I said, I definitely, you know, respect Jordan. And, you know, there's only one Michael Jordan. And I think his personality definitely, you know, helped win them to have the run of championships that they had. And, you know, there's only one Michael Jordan for a reason, man. I think the times are different now, but, you know, I definitely think that you need that personality somewhere in that locker room for that.
Yeah. You know, it's 20 years later and we are still returning to Jordan's story. I wonder, why do you think he has such staying power?
Excuse me?
I just wonder if do you have a sense of why? I mean, is it just his great basketball skills or is there something beyond that about Jordan that gives him this kind of power that he stays in our minds even 20 years later? We're still talking about him.
Oh, I think, you know, that is definitely the skill. You know, it's definitely that. But I think it's winning, you know, what he was able to do, you know, going to 6 finals, not losing the finals, not going to a game 7 in the finals. I think that's, you know, what got him over the hump. Cause like I said, I think there's a lot of talented guys that came through the NBA. But a lot of them didn't win the amount of championships as Jordan was able to win in the fashion that he was able to win them in.
All right, we're also joined on the line now by Melissa Isaacson. She covered the Bulls for the Chicago Tribune in the 1990s. Nowadays, she's a lecturer at Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism and an author. Her newest book is a memoir called State, A Team, A Triumph, A Transformation. Melissa Isaacson, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to ask, and we only have a couple of minutes left in the show here, but you covered the Bulls, right? And there's, in the first episode of The Last Dance, the Bulls are in Paris for an exhibition game. Streets are flooded with reporters and fans wanting a glimpse of Jordan. I imagine that was even crazier at home. I mean, what was it like covering him in, you know, the Bulls in their heyday when you were with the Tribune?
Oh, incredible. I mean, you know, when you watch it now, obviously 30 years later, you have a perspective that's just, you can, you know, fully appreciate how huge it was. But I really think even during that time and experiencing it, we knew that it was something special. I mean, it was unlike anything. You knew you were watching someone who was maybe the best ever at that time, certainly the best player that we had ever seen. And, you know, you'd go on the road and you wouldn't be able to get into hotels and the bus would be, you know, surrounded by people literally rocking it. You know, it was really like traveling with the Beatles, as I would imagine that would have been, you know, if you did. So it was incredible. It really was. It's seeing a player like him just on an everyday basis, seeing him play at the peak of his skills was really a blessing. I mean, it's all I could say, a highlight of my career for sure.
Yeah, and just about a minute left in our conversation, but and I asked this to Rich a moment ago, but it's 20 years later, we're still returning to Jordan's story. Why do you think he has such staying power in our imagination?
You know, my 22-year-old son was watching the documentary with me the other night, and he turned to me, and Michael was holding his cigar and the baseball bat in the other hand. I don't know if you guys remember that scene. Mm-hmm. And he looks at me and he goes, he was just so cool. And I was like, he was, you know, he had an aura about him. And certainly the skills are, you know, unsurpassed. And I'm really glad that younger people are getting to see him because I teach undergrads and grads at Northwestern. And, you know, in the past when I've said, I think he's a better all-around player than LeBron, I think he's the greatest of all time, you get that skeptical look like you're an old person. I'm glad that people are seeing him because he did have a style, not just, you know, in the locker room, you know, laughing about that, but a style on the court that was unlike anyone else. And his clutch ability, his ability to hit big shots at big times, I think is unmatched. And so, you know, you just take all of that together and take the sheer numbers and sheer ability. And all you have to do is just get a glimpse of one of these highlights and you know. And, mm-hmm. and there's no coincidence that players are still wearing his gear and kids still know who he is.
20 years later. Melissa Isaacson covered the Bulls for the Chicago Tribune in the 1990s. And we also have been speaking with Rich McBride, who's the assistant men's basketball coach at Moberly Community College, but played for the U of I in the mid-aughts. Rich and Melissa, thanks so much for sharing your memories of Jordan with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
That is all the time we have for today's show, which is produced by Libby Foster and Anna Casey. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey.